It's nearly noon and time for the KMXT Midday News. Coming up on the news, witnesses to the recent rocket crash, and the launching of a traditional ikyak. It's 12 noon. 56 degrees out there. It's 54 all day long. We've gained a couple of degrees. Still hoping for a high of 59. We're looking for southerly winds to 20 miles per hour. It's been a little blustery today. For tomorrow, you're looking at a 30% chance of rain after 4 p.m. Cloudy skies tomorrow. It's a high near 58. Mariners, we do have small craft advisories all around the island. Southeast 25 in Marmot Bay, seas to 8 feet right now. Over in Chiniac Bay, we're looking at south winds of 25, seas to 3 feet.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. A historically high settlement has been announced in a case that has animated rights protests across the nation. The family of Breonna Taylor, a 26-year-old black woman killed by police gunfire, has been awarded a $12 million payout by the city of Louisville, Kentucky. Tamika Palmer is now seeking criminal charges against the officers who shot her daughter.
As significant as today is, it's only the beginning of getting full justice for Breonna. We must not lose focus on what the real job is. And with that being said, it's time to move forward with the criminal charges because she deserves that and much more.
In an early morning raid last March, Louisville police stormed the home of the emergency room technician with a no-knock warrant. She was shot 5 times. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey is urging residents to evacuate ahead of the arrival tonight or early tomorrow of Hurricane Sally. Troy Public Radio's Kyle Gassett reports.
Even though Ivey says many Alabamians sought shelter after she issued a statewide emergency declaration, she wants any remaining residents in dangerous areas to understand Hurricane Sally's dangers.
We are looking at record flooding, perhaps breaking historic levels. And with rising water comes a greater risk for loss of property and life.
Forecasters say after Sally makes landfall, it will travel north, bringing 8 to 10 inches of rain to Alabama's capital, Montgomery, before moving east to Georgia. Along with the risk of flooding, the storm also brings the possibility of isolated tornadoes. For NPR News, I'm Kyle Gassett in Troy, Alabama.
Department of Health and Human Services spokesman Mile Caputo tells NPR that he did, in fact, make controversial statements on Facebook Live about potential violence in post-election America. NPR's Franco Ordonez has the latest.
Caputo did not dispute that he made comments first reported by the New York Times in the live event raising the specter of violence if Trump wins the election, warning supporters to buy ammunition because it's going to be hard to get. Caputo had been doing the Facebook Live on the porch of his Buffalo, New York home with his two young daughters nearby when a man drove by and threatened him in front of his children, which prompted his comments about violence. He said the Facebook Live event was done in his personal capacity, not as part of his job. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
On the White House South Lawn today, Israel signed agreements normalizing relations with the United Arab Emirates and with Bahrain. These agreements were brokered by the Trump administration while the nations had already been cooperating quietly on security issues. Wall Street, a positive day for tech stocks. The Nasdaq was up 133. This is NPR News. Wildfires all along the West Coast continue to have a severe impact on air quality in Northern California. As Holly McDeed reports from member station KQED, San Francisco Bay Area residents have experienced an unprecedented number of consecutive days of unhealthy air.
Thick smoke from the fires has created some of the world's worst air quality, and the Bay Area is on track to continue its record-breaking streak of days of unhealthy air. Warnings have already gone out for Wednesday, taking the streak of bad air days to 30. Wildfires have burned over 3.2 million acres just in California since the beginning of the year, and over 16,000 firefighters are currently working to contain 25 major blazes. At least 25 people have died in the California fires, and more than 4,000 structures have been destroyed. For NPR News, I'm Holly J. McDeed in San Francisco.
In Maine, the death toll from a coronavirus outbreak linked to a wedding reception has grown to 7, according to state public health authorities. The Maine Center for Disease Control and Prevention says the August wedding reception at the Big Moose Inn in Millinocket is linked to more than 175 confirmed COVID cases. The state agency says the outbreak continues to sicken people around the state, covering an area that spans hundreds of miles and linked to other cases at a county jail and a rehabilitation center. Maine had managed to largely control the virus. Johns Hopkins researchers have identified roughly 6.5 million COVID-19 cases in the U.S. since the pandemic began, with 195,000 deaths. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Carbonite, providing secure and encrypted backup of personal devices to protect digital memories from unforeseen circumstances. Learn more at Carbonite.com. Carbonite, an open text company.
Over the weekend, teams scoured the scorched earth near the Kodiak Pacific spaceport to recover what's left of Astra's 3.1 rocket. It was a small rocket designed to carry telecommunications satellites into space at a lower cost. The California company's rocket lifted off successfully on Friday night and reached an estimated altitude of almost 11,000 feet. But as KMXT's Rhonda McBride reports, the launch was aborted seconds after takeoff.
The night was crisp and clear. The mountains in the sky made a beautiful backdrop as Eric Von Dongen narrated his cell phone video of the liftoff.
Rocket launch in Kodiak, Alaska. Pretty cool.
Eric and his father, Mark Van Dongen, had driven to a pullout on the road to the launch complex. They saw the rocket roar straight up into the sky and quickly disappear against the clouds. Then, about 20 seconds later, the rocket tumbled down to Earth.
Whoa! Ooh. Whoa!
Holy mackerel. That's unbelievable.
The video captured Mark Van Dongen's voice in the background as he witnessed the rocket turn into a fireball upon impact.
I'm glad it didn't throw any shrapnel this way. It wasn't that far away, eh?
Mm-mm.
I mean, that's real close to where we were hunting this morning. It's right down there where we were.
The Van Dongen said they were deer hunting about a half mile from where they watched the explosion.
And that, I don't think, was good.
Alaska Aerospace Corporation says the rocket crashed on state land, within a safety zone, with access closed to the public during a launch. The corporation is a partner with Astra. Mark Lester, the corporation's president, was in Kodiak for the launch of Astra 3.1. He said no one was hurt, and crews quickly put out the fire. He says the spaceport's public safety response plan worked very well. So from that standpoint, the launch was a success. Lester says while an explosion may seem shocking to the public, in the rocket industry, launch failures are part of the learning process.
We face adversity, we overcome it, we get after it, we learn from it, and then we grow from it.
The launch was aborted manually within seconds after takeoff, after its technicians noticed a slight drift in its trajectory. The next day, Astra held a post-launch briefing. Chris Kemp, one of the founders of the company, declared the launch a success, even though it didn't get past its first stage burn.
This is a really unprecedented milestone in the space industry.
Kemp says the rocket is still on track with plans to reach orbit in 3 test flights, and data from Friday's flight will help them in future attempts. The company's other founder, Adam London, said they were pleased to learn that the problem isn't in the rocket's hardware, which means it'll be an easier fix.
The hardware performed pretty well, quite well, in fact, and that the fix to address this issue is likely to be a software one, which actually gives us hope that we'll be able to return to flight fairly quickly.
Astra, which is based in Alameda, California, says its 3.2 rocket is already built and will soon be ready for testing. On the company's Twitter page, Elon Musk, the founder of SpaceX, offered a message of encouragement after Astra announced its launch had not made it past the first stage. "Sorry to hear that," Musk wrote. "I'm sure you'll figure it out, though. Took us 4 launches to reach orbit. Rockets are hard." The Van Dongens witnessed that lesson firsthand. They had planned to go back to the area where the rocket crashed. They had spotted a buck they wanted to pursue, but were left with emotional aftershocks from the explosion, feeling waves of sadness and wonder all at once.
When a rocket explodes, it usually does it over the ocean, and then it usually blows up in the air. I've never seen a missile failure like that on TV. And then to have it land right in the area that we were hunting in that morning, what are the odds that was going to happen?
Van Dongen's son Eric says the memory of the aftershock from the explosion lingers. He said he held his breath for a few moments, then felt as if he were gently pushed back by the impact.
From a science standpoint, it was a bummer deal, but from a viewing standpoint, it was something that we definitely will remember forever. There's a little boy that was crying beside us, and he wasn't crying because of the explosion. He was crying because he wanted to see it launched in space. So he was disappointed, too.
Perhaps Astra's next 3.2 rocket will make it into orbit, but a lot depends on how Astra's team will be able to turn Friday's failure into tomorrow's success. For now, Astra and Alaska Aerospace Corporation promise that the land the Van Dongens and many others in Kodiak use for hunting will be cleaned up and restored to its original condition. In Kodiak, I'm Rhonda McBride.
A new case of COVID-19 has been reported in Kodiak. This involves someone from the Kodiak region who tested positive while off the island. The Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization says this person will remain off-island during an isolated period. Staff from the Department of Public Health will stay in contact to ensure self-isolation and care. This latest report brings the total number of cases since April to 72. 2 of those are currently classified as actively local. On Saturday, the community of Unalaska joined Shayla Shishnikov as she launched her Ikyak. With the guidance of 2 Ikyak builders, Shishnikov constructed her first Aleutian Sea kayak over the past couple of weeks. As KUCB's Maggie Nelson reports, it was a long-awaited and profoundly spiritual process for Shishnikov.
Do you want to put those things up again, or should I just grab it?
You can just grab it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm supervising. That is my job.
Mm-hmm. It is. Someone's got to do it.
Shayla Shishnikov is Camp Kungayu coordinator for the Kowalungan Tribe of Unalaska, and has just built and launched her first Ikyak, an Unangak skin-on-frame sea kayak.
And so I am just really looking forward to getting this build in and to customizing this Ikyak to me and my body. We are a water people. The water is just everything to us. It brings us food and life, energy and transportation and happiness, really.
Shishnikov crafted her Ikyak over a span of about 14 days with the guidance of instructor Mark Daniels, a professional Ikyak builder based out of California who has been crafting Aleutian sea kayaks for several decades, and help from Dustin Newman, Youth Services Coordinator with the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association. Here's Daniels describing the beginning phases of the build.
The whole process starts with going out to the beaches and combing the shores for the right shapes of driftwood, because a lot of the parts in an Ikyak are curved, but they have to be strong. So you select out, you take a pattern out with you, and you select out the pieces of driftwood that match and are the right type of wood and are in good shape.
From there, Daniel says, the process involves many long hours in the wood shop, then steaming and bending of the ribs as the Ikyak begins taking on a 3-dimensional shape. The process wraps up with the launch and blessing of the Ikyak. When it is done at Camp Kongayu, the region's annual culture camp, which was canceled this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Ikyak is constructed in about 5 days. But for Shishnikov's build, as part of Daniel's apprenticeship program, they chose to slow things down. Typically, Shishnikov would travel to California as well to learn and build with Daniels in his workshop, but she says she was unable to travel there in March, as she'd previously planned to do, due to the pandemic. Shishnikov and Daniels collaborated with APIA and the Kowalunkan tribe to move forward with the build by bringing Daniels to Unalaska despite the cancellation of the culture camp. And while things are happening on a different timeline and location, Shishnikov says she's excited to have the opportunity to build her own Ikyak in her home community.
And I think that initial launch out to sea really sets you up for, you know, the rest of the course of your Ikyak. So to be able to do that here in our Unangak waters and on our lands, I think is pretty significant.
For Shishnikov, the build is not simply a physical process, but also an emotional, cultural, and spiritual one. And for Dustin Newman, who has done a few Ikyak and other types of builds and joined Daniels to help guide Shishnikov, the construction is also about fostering mental well-being through cultural practices.
We have a value called Kayuktuchin, which is be strong. I tie that into that same ideology of you have to be strong mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually to get through tough times. And having your cultural awareness, having those values instilled in you really helps get through tough times.
It's a process of passion for Newman and Shishnikov, and also for Daniels, who has been building Ikyak and other Aleutian sea kayaks since the 1980s. When he describes the process and the structure, his enthusiasm is immediately apparent through his attention to detail and the audible excitement that carries through his voice.
The cleft, the two-part bow, and the truncated stern, the exact number of ribs, the exact dimensions of it, it's perfect. It fits the human body and makes a human being into a marine mammal.
He says he became obsessed with the Aleutian kayaks when he saw them in various museums. He started reverse engineering them and eventually was invited up to St. Paul in the Pribilof Islands to teach and build. Daniel says he feels privileged to help mend the gap of cultural knowledge that was created when the Unangak people were removed from their homes, many never to return.
And I feel like it feels really meaningful to be picking that stuff up and sort of mending that wheel and getting it back to where it's spinning again.
For the blessing of her Ikyak, Shishnikov says she is following Newman's lead. Like Daniels, Newman also approaches the build as a process that unites past and present.
Like mine personally, I'll embellish with our ivory carvings and circle dot motifs. Those circle dot motifs are those traditionally are what allow our ancestors to be with us. It invites them to be on the waters and dancing with us and everything. Today,
of course. At the launch of her vessel on Saturday night, Shishnikov included an ivory carving of a sea otter nestled into the inside of the Ikyak. And attached to the outside, near the head of the vessel, a humpback whale, Alamach in Unangam Tunu, a symbol that is particularly special to Shishnikov and is also her Unangak name. Reporting in Unalaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The local news is supported in part by Ardinger's Fine Furnishings, home of the Tempur-Pedic Ergo Collection and the Tempur-Pedic Breeze, made especially for those who sleep hot. The Breeze cushions and supports you while channeling excess heat away from the mattress. Tempur-Pedic's Ergo Base allows you to move the bed into multiple ergonomic positions for sleeping or relaxing. 486-5554.
And by Arctic Physical Therapy Services, Incorporated. Professional rehabilitation for all your physical therapy needs. We repair the world's most complex machine. 813 Mill Bay Road, 486-4499.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Fishermen's trade belief is based on last year's poundage. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute wants industry members to help guide programs that increase the value of Alaska seafood. Learn more and apply at alaskaseafood.org.
Trade relief funds to take the sting out of lost export markets will provide U.S. fishermen with a share of $530 million based on their catches in 2019 for 19 species. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced last week that from now through December 14th, fishermen can apply to the Seafood Trade Relief Program if they've been hurt by the Trump administration's policies with foreign countries. For example, a 38% tariff the U.S. pays for Alaska seafood going to China, previously Alaska's biggest buyer, has pushed down sales to the lowest level in a decade. The damages to fishermen are calculated as the difference with the trade tariff and the baseline without it. For cod, for example, that adds up to an extra 14 cents a pound. So a fisherman who had cod landings last year of 375,000 pounds would multiply that by 14 cents. That adds up to a payment of $52,500. In all, 19 species are included. For Alaska crabbers, 47 cents a pound can be added to the catches for Dungeness, king crab, snow crab, and tanners. Geoduck divers can add 76 cents to their total poundage. Alaska salmon fishermen can add 16 cents across the board. It's 10 cents for sablefish, 4 cents for herring, and an extra penny a pound for pollock, to name a few. The money will be provided on a first-come, first-served basis. Eligible fishermen can fill out a simple one-page application found at farmers.gov and at USDA Farm Service agencies. In Alaska, there are three locations at Homer, Kenai, and the statewide office in Palmer. Find links and contacts at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch. Other things besides trash attract bears into town. Here are tips to keep them away. Freeze stinky garbage and fish wastes until garbage day. Bring bird feeders inside until winter. Keep your barbecue grills clean and inside if possible. Smokers too. Don't leave smelly fish tackle around and bring in uneaten pet food. Bears like dog food better than dogs do. Be bear aware and be a Kodiak trash buster.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 40. This announcement was issued 10 a.m. September 14th. There will be a 78-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, September 15, to 6 p.m. Friday, September 18, in the following areas: the Outer Iqaluit section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Afognak District, except the Outer Katoy and Iqaluit Bay sections remain open until further notice, and the Inner Katoy Bay section remains closed. The Mainland District, the Sheraton Bay, Anton Larson Bay, Kajuyak Bay, Terror Bay, Inner Uganic Bay, Spiriton Bay, Zacher Bay, and Uyak Bay sections of the Northwest Kodiak District, the East Side Kodiak District, and the Northeast Kodiak District. As previously announced, the following areas remain open until further notice: the Outer Katoy Bay and Iqaluit Bay sections of the Afognak District, the Outer Karlik section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Central and North Cape sections of the Northwest Kodiak District, and the Humpy Dead Man, Cape Alitak, Alitak Bay, Mosher Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District. Closed waters are shown on the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. Statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. Recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder phone at 486-4559.
Welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is September 15th, the year 2020. Sun rose today at 7:41 this morning. Won't set again until 8:26 this evening. giving us 12 hours and 45 minutes, or almost getting to 12:12. That's a loss of 4 minutes and 55 seconds compared to yesterday. The record high was 73 set in 1985, and the record low was 33 set in 1987. Both are safe. It's 56 degrees right now, hoping for a high of 58 today. And those kind of temperatures and these kind of weather conditions expected throughout the week, at least until next Monday, it looks like. We have a high tide coming up on the east side at 1:39 p.m. That's going to be a 7.6-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 7:11 of 1.8 feet, a high tide at 1:20 a.m. of 9.5 feet, and your low tide for tomorrow morning, 7:52 on the east side, will be a minus 0.9-foot tide, almost a minus 1-foot tide. Good tide pooling, Maynard. Over in Neganic Pass on the west side, you have a high tide coming up at 2:05 this afternoon. That's going to be a 14.7-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 8:02 p.m. of 1.6 feet. Your high tide in the middle of the night will be at 1:57 a.m. on the west side, a 16-foot tide. And your tomorrow morning low tide at 8:27 will be a minus 2 feet over on the west side. Looking at our marine weather, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A front will enter the western Gulf on Tuesday morning and move slowly to the central Gulf through Wednesday afternoon. A stronger front will enter the western Gulf Wednesday afternoon. Your resulting weather, Marmot Island to Sitkanak, we have a small craft advisory today. South wind to 25 knots and seas to 9 feet right now offshore east side of Kodiak. For tonight, we're looking southwest 25, seas to 7 feet. Tomorrow, variable 10, seas to 5 feet. But Thursday through Friday, we're looking for southwest winds to 40 knots and seas to 15 feet Thursday and Friday on our east side. Inside waters for Chiniac and Marmot Bays. Chiniac Bay, small craft advisory today. South winds at 25 knots and 3-foot seas right now. For tomorrow, look for variable less than 10, seas to 3 feet. And for Wednesday, look for east winds at 20 knots, seas building to 6 feet. In Marmot Bay, southeast winds at 25 knots right now. For tomorrow, look for variable winds less than 10 knots, becoming east 10 knots in the afternoon and seas to 3 feet. And for Wednesday night, look for east winds to 20 knots and seas to 7 feet. Over in the Shelikof on Kodiak's east side, small craft advisory today, southeast 25 right now. We'll go to southwest 15 this afternoon, seas to 5 feet. Variable 10 tomorrow and seas to 2 feet. But on Thursday, look for northeast winds to 30 knots and seas building to 9 feet in the Shelikof. Election day is Tuesday, October 6th, but you could be voting right now in person. To ensure social distancing and reduce crowding at the precincts on Election Day, the Kodiak Island Borough is making early voting available from now through October 5th. Early voting is similar to voting at your polling precinct on Election Day. At the time you vote, your eligibility will be verified and you'll be given a ballot to feed right into the voting machine. Remember, it's available from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. in the Borough Assembly Chambers, located at 710 Mill Bay Road, right up here by the high school. And everyone's encouraged to take advantage of this option, an opportunity to vote early and without the crowd. September is National Library Card Sign-Up Month. If you need a library card, you can schedule an appointment to come in and get one at our library. And also you can check out what's new and take advantage of resources and services available at your public library. The next Zoom Room Book Club will meet Thursday at 3 p.m. You can join online to discuss what you've read, watched, or listened to lately and find out about new titles at the library. Call Lori to find out more about all these things at 486-8688. The Kodiak Crab Fest Committee has selected its slogan for the 2021 Kodiak Crab Festival, and it's Retro Revival. Let your imagination run wild. There are no restrictions on the decade or which retro or revival you're restricted to, so just start designing. Logo and poster submissions must reach the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce office by 5 p.m. on Monday, November 9th. For more details and rules, go to kodiakcrabfest.com.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.